Just to meet everybody. We're going to use for our text this morning the same scripture that I read to start with this morning, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for those that are here and those on Zoom that are ready to receive and hear the word of God. And God, I thank you that you have given me a word, and I know that I can of my own self do nothing. So Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that it's through you that the word is given. So we praise you this morning, Father God, and we submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to teach from a subject this morning. God loves you. I want you to do this. I want you to repeat after me, but you're going to point your finger at your own self. Say, God loves me. Right. Mary got it right quick. God loves me. God loves me. That's right, Lonnie. God loves you. He loves you. God loves you. John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he came that through him the world might be saved. That word saved is sozo. Sozo means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, do well, and make whole. Make whole. We not only have been saved from the penalty of sin, but also the results and consequence of sin. Amen. Because we know that what? Sickness and disease came in the world because of sin. Not your sin, not my sin, Adam's sin. You know, and so when God took care of the sin problem, he also made provision for us to be healed. So we're not afraid of the wrath of God now. We're not afraid of being punished, but also we shouldn't be afraid of the consequence of sin. All that stuff out there, that because sin is in the world, God has given us a way out of it. He's given us a way out. He's given us a way out. So we as individuals, every one of us, we need to be convinced individually of God's love for us, his love for us. I remember when I believed that God so loved the world. I read that script, I believe that God so loved the world. But in my mind, he so loved the world, but does that mean he loved me? I mean, does that mean that God loved me? He loved the world, but did he love the world because he had to? I mean, is that a condition to his love? I really didn't know the love of God, and I didn't really know that God loved me. So some of us are not really convinced that God loves us. We are not convinced that he loves us in spite of our behavior or actions. And we don't believe that God's love for us can't change or be diminished. When I started trying to believe God loved me, I thought when I did wrong, he didn't love me. I thought when I didn't act right or didn't think right, maybe he didn't love me at that time. Maybe I had to do something to get his love back. Maybe I had to act a certain way to get him to love me again. You know how we think, I want him to love me again. So what can I do to help God love me again? Look, we do the same thing with people. We'll hurt somebody's feeling, husband or wife might say something, somebody say, oh, what do I do to let her know I still love her or love him? How do I get my children to know that I still love them? I have to punish them. You know, God don't punish us, but we have to punish our children. sometimes, you know, what do I have to do to gain that love back? But God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional. I heard this statement last week, and the statement was this, and it's not grammatically correct, but this is what the person said. They said this: everybody don't see God, but God sees everybody. Everybody don't see God, but God sees every one of us. He sees every one of us. And then I thought about this. Not everybody loves God, but God loves everybody. He loves everybody. So how do you get someone to believe that you love them, especially if that person believes you are their enemy? And if they believe you are only wanting to judge and punish them, how do you get somebody to love you? And I know God thought about that. He made all of us. He thought of us in his mind, and he created us. And then mankind sinned, and sin came in the land, and man began to get a distorted view of God. They didn't see God the way God really was. They didn't see the love of God. So how could God, and God knew the answer. I'm going to ask the question, but God knew the answer. How do you get someone to believe that you love them? And it's still now, even after now, after the cross and after Jesus, God still has the dilemma of how do I get my children to know I love them? How do I get the world to know that I love them? How do I get the person that hates me to know that I love them? How do I get the person that don't believe there is a God to know that I love them? How? And sometimes we think, how do we get other people to know that God loves them? How do we get our children to know that God loves them? How do you get the atheist to know that God loves them? And some people look around and see all the disasters in the world, and they see all the things that are happening, and they wonder, okay, if there's a God and God loves me and he loves the world, why is all these things happening? They ask all kinds of questions. But the thing is, God does love us, but he's given man free will. And a lot of times people don't realize, they want free will. They exercise their free will, but don't realize when they come to God, they still got free will. And God don't violate our free will. He let you choose. He let us choose to receive his love or not receive it. He let us choose to believe his love or not believe it. God doesn't cause pain and suffering and bad things to happen. And I told somebody this one time, a lady was grieving over the loss of her son, and she blamed God for it. And I really believe this statement I'm getting ready to tell y'all. I really believe that before somebody does something tragic, kill somebody or kill themselves, I believe God is right there. And he's giving them an opportunity not to do it. And I believe God is trying to get them to hear him, to see, no, this is not what you're supposed to do. Don't do this. But not everybody listens. Not everybody hear when God is trying to get them not to stop doing something tragic or not to do this or that or the other. We all know that. We can think about the love of God on our lives before we got born again. And even now, we can remember those times when we decide to do something we shouldn't do. But on the inside, God said, no, don't do it. You knew you're not, even if you didn't hear a voice, on the inside of you, you knew, okay, this is not right. I shouldn't do this. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. We fail to see God's love in operation in all the times when we could have went left and been in trouble and supposedly went right, and God stopped us and we went the right way because of the love of God. Because of the love of God. Let's look at Romans. I'm going to go through some of the fifth chapter of Romans. But Romans, the chapter of Romans reveals several things about God's love for us. Because I want you to know God does love you. The enemy tried to get us to think sometime that he doesn't, but he does. He really does. And you can turn to Romans, the fifth chapter of Romans, if you want to. I'm going to read some scriptures. But I want to say this about Romans. And you can find this in the first chapter, fifth chapter of Romans, the first verse. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. Our faith in Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, we believe that he's the Son of God, it transfers Jesus' righteousness to us. The Bible said what? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so we could be made the righteousness of God. That's what God did. We were sinners. Jesus was righteous. He went to the cross and paid a penalty for us. And since he paid the penalty for us, when we receive him as our Savior, we believe he's the Son of God, then God takes that righteousness of Jesus and what? He gives it to us. He gives it to us. So he transferred righteousness to us. And then not only did he transfer righteousness to us, he declared us faultless. He declared us not guilty. Isn't it good if you go to a courthouse, you know you're guilty? Judge getting ready to sentence you. You might get 10 years, 20 years. You might get life. And then all of a sudden, the judge says, not guilty. Not guilty because you didn't commit the crime, but not guilty because somebody else decided to take your time and go to jail for you so you could go free. And that's what Jesus did for us. He declared us flawless in his eyes because what? He put all our sentence of death on Jesus. So God did that. He declared us flawless and put all our sin and all our sentence on Jesus. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. We have peace with God. You know, when Jesus was born and the angels were singing, and they began to say, peace on earth toward what? God and man. Not that we were going to have peace with one another, but now because of Jesus' birth and his death and resurrection, we have peace between us and God. The word of God said we have been reconciled to him. We've been reconciled. God ain't mad at us no more. He's not mad. We have been reconciled. We are at peace with him. We don't have to be afraid of being punished. We don't have to be afraid of God getting us. I remember when I grew up with parents that they would get you if you did wrong. I mean, they would get you with a belt. They would whoop you. They would, what else they do, Donna? They got us, though. They got us. They punished us. They punished us. And sometimes you think, because my parents, they weren't the type to come back and say, you know, I really love you. I had to punish you, but I really love you. They just got you and went on. And so, so you wonder, you know, there was something there that needed to be reconciled with all that, that wasn't reconciled. And I, for a long time, I was angry with my mother because there was not that reconciliation. I thought she was mean. All she wanted to do was to beat me and make me work. And sometimes we think that God is like that because we grew up with parents like that. And he's not. He's not. He gave us Jesus to die for us so that we could be reconciled to him. So that we would know how much he loved us. I grew up not, my mother loved me, but I grew up not really believing she loved me because of all the punishment she had to do. She had to whip the bad out of me and whip the good in me, I think she was trying to do, whatever. but God is not like that. And it's so hard for us to get to the place where we see him the way he really is and not see him the way that we saw our parents or the ones that had authority over us. You know, we are reconciled to him. We have peace with the Father. And in that peace, we have love. He loves us. He loves us. Not because he has to. Not because he has to, because he is love. And his desire is to love us. His desire is to give his best to us. And that's what he did. His desire was to save us. His desire was to not us to go and die in wrath and sin and be in a dying hell. We don't preach much on hell, but there's a hell. And God doesn't want us to go there. It was made for the devil and his angels. So he reconciled the world unto himself through Christ Jesus. And then the word of God says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to be telling the world that God loves you. And so he wants you to be reconciled to him because Christ paid the penalty. He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty. So our faith in Jesus guarantees us permanent access into the marvelous kindness that God has given us, a perfect relationship with him. God is so kind to us. He is so kind to us. Let's look at Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. Through Jesus, whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're in a place. When I read this, I thought about this. Through Jesus, whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. God loves you. He loves you because through Jesus, he made a way so that we, by faith, we have access, entrance into his grace. Into his grace. God has given us everything by grace. We were saved by grace through faith, Romans says. And so God has given us everything, everything, everything. And everything he's given us is because of grace. Grace includes everything we could ever need or it could ever want. But we cannot access it except by faith. That means I can't enter into it. I can't experience it. I can't enjoy it. I can't make it my reality except I do it by faith. I got to do it by faith. I got to do it by faith. I mean, I got to believe. I got to believe that God cannot lie. I got to believe that he loves me. I can't believe he'll do it for Ed and won't do it for me. That ain't going to work. I got to believe that he loves me just as much as he does you. You got to believe that he loves you just as much as he does me. And that whatever he has given is just as much yours as it is mine. Because it is. It is. It is. Human parents have favoritism. Robert will tell you he's God's favorite, but the thing is, we all God's favorite. Robert's on Zoom. We all God's favorite. Yes, that's right, Mary. And so we're all his favorite. But parents really will show favoritism over one child or the other child. Yeah, they will sometimes. They will sometimes. And they will. And the thing is, when parents do that, you know they it's seen. You can see the favoritism. You can see they're showing favoritism. And see, but God is not like that. He loves you just as much as he loves me. He will do just as much for you as he does for me. The Bible said he dealt to all of us the measure of faith. He didn't give me no more faith than he gave you. Love gives you the same thing as it gives me. The thing is, when God gives us something, he gives you faith. All of us the same amount of faith, the measure of faith. The thing is, what are you doing with your measure? That's it. What are you doing with your measure of faith? You know, are you using your measure of faith to access or enter into the grace of God and all those stuff God's given you? Are you using your faith to receive healing, to receive your deliverance, to receive prosperity, to receive success? What are you doing with your measure? God loved you enough to give you a whole measure, just like he did me. And it's up to us what we do with our measure. In the Bible, God gave out talents. He gave one, he gave two, he gave five. And the word of God said he gave to everyone according to their several ability. You know, he gave everybody to what they were able to handle. So that means God gives us talents. We all got talents. But everybody had the faith they needed to multiply that talent. The one that had five, he took his faith and what he believed that he could do because God had given it to him, he got five more. The one that got two, he got two more. The one that got one, he got no more. Because the one that had one, what did he do? He hid his talent. He didn't use the faith that God gave him and the ability God gave him to multiply what God had given him. And so when God, the word of God said, when the master came back, he was upset because he didn't use his talent. And he did something that we probably think is very unfair. He took that one talent and gave it to the one that had five. God does not like waste. He likes increase. He likes increase, not waste. So what I'm trying to get you to see is God loves you. And he has given you everything you need to be successful. Why? Because he loves us. Sometimes we're so busy looking at what somebody else has got that we think God has given somebody else and we don't have it. We fail to use what God has given us. I like what God told Moses. Moses told Moses, what's in your hand? The Israelites, the Egyptians are coming behind you. You get all these Israelites and there's the water, the Red Sea. And they crying out to God and say, God said, Moses, what have you got in your hand? I gave you a rod. Sometimes I think God looking and say, okay, what you got? What have you got? Take your faith and use what you got. I love you. Stop worrying about whether or not I love you or not. I love you. I sent my son. He died for you. I love you. Now use what I've given you by faith, with the measure of faith I've given you, and do what I put in your heart to do. The love of God to put something in your heart. What's in your heart? What have God put in your heart? What do you have in your heart that God's put there? That he's given you the faith and the ability and the grace to go forth and do it. To go forth and do so. God loves you. God loves you. And Romans 3 and 4 tells us about how that we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Even in the times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, our godly character. And that leads to hope. And that leads to hope. And I said that to get up to Romans 5:5. Now hope, okay, we go through troubles, we go through different stuff and pressures, and they develop patience in us and endurance, and that endurance refines our godly character and our character, and that should lead to hope. That should lead us back to hope. And then verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because what? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The love of God is where? In our hearts. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you believe it at this moment or not, that doesn't change the fact that the love of God has been poured out in your heart. We just have to believe it and access that love of God. Experience that love of God. Experience that love of God. I like the Passion Translation that says, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascaded into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When I think about cascades, I think about a waterfall. It's just the water just doing like that. And that's what the scripture says the love of God is doing. It's just being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Just being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you're going through troubles, and difficult situations, and it seems like things are tough, just think about that you have the love of God on the inside of you. And that love of God is what? It's being poured out by the Holy Spirit. It's being cascading in you. And sometimes all you have to do is just stop and just think a minute and meditate on the Lord. And you can just sense that love of God in you. The love of God strengthens you. The love of God will get you through every trouble, everything you go through. That love is there. That love is there. That love is there. If you know that God loves you, it will get you through anything you need to get through. Because one thing about it, if you know God loves you, you know he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. You know that when you cry out to God, he's there. He will be there. He will do with us what nobody else can do. What? Because he loves you. You can count on somebody when they love you. You know that they're going to be there. And that's the way God is. He's pouring that love out on us. He's pouring that love out on us. And Romans 5:6 tells us this. But when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who were the ungodly? Us. We were the ungodly. And in due time, in time that God has set forth, Christ died for us. He came, he died to demonstrate his love for sinners. And we were sinners. And we were entirely helpless. We were weak. We were powerless to save ourselves. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that he sent Jesus to die and pay for our sins. To prove to us that he loves us. To prove to us that he loves us. That same chapter says, scarcely for a righteous man one will die. And maybe for a good man somebody would die. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has already demonstrated the fact that he loves you and that he loves me because Jesus died on the cross for all of us. And we can experience that unfailing love and grace of God all because of Jesus Christ. God loves us. God loves us. He loves us. His love was manifested because he gave us Jesus. In 1 John 4:10 says this, herein is love, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins or the payment for our sins. 1 John 4:16 says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. We have to come to an intimate experience with God's love. We have to trust the love of God for us. You got to trust the love of God for you. You got to trust the fact that God loves you. You got to trust that. You got to trust that. 1 John 4:17 says this. Love, and it's talking about the love of God. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us, so that we may fiercely face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. And 1 John 4:18 lets us know what? Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. The love of God has no fear in it. When you know God loves you, you don't have to fear him. You don't have to fear his will for you. You don't have to fear his plan for you. You don't have to fear what he's going to say to you because what? Because of his love for you. Because of his love for you. In his love, there's no fear. There's no fear. Because what? Perfect love drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love perfection. If you're constantly thinking God's going to punish you or God's going to do something bad to you, then his love has not been brought to perfection in you. And God wants his love to be brought to perfection in you. And the only way it's going to be brought to perfection is you got to trust the love of God. Trust his love for you. Trust that he loves you. Trust that he's doing everything for your best interest. Trust that whatever he tells you is going to be right. And it's going to be for your good. And it's going to be for everybody that's good around you. So trust God's love for you. So when you trust the love of God for you, you don't have to be afraid of following him, obeying him, doing what he tells you to do. You can trust his love. Trust his love. Trust his love. Trust the love of God for you. I'm going to conclude at Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. And I'm going to go to finish that chapter out about in Romans. And Paul said this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad nothing can separate you from the love of God? No person, no thing, no condition. I don't care what happened in this world. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God's going to love you regardless of what's going on. He's going to love you. He's going to love you. He's made us more than conquerors. And he has demonstrated his love in our glorious victory over everything. He's made us conquerors and demonstrated his love. So now we should live in the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from the love of God. No devil, no demons, nothing. No troubles, no sickness, no disease. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing in our present here or future circumstance that can weaken his love. Nothing can weaken his love. His love for us is going to stay the same. It's going to stay strong. He loves you. He loves you. There is no power above us or beneath us. No power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from the passionate love of God, which he lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. God lavished his love on us. He abundantly gave us his love. He didn't hold back anything. He gave us his love. He gave us everything when he gave us Jesus. God loves you. Trust that love. Trust his love for you. Trust that he loves you. Trust that he's there. Trust that he has your best interest at heart. Trust that God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we think we know more than God. We think our way is the best way. But the truth of the matter is, our way is not the best way. Trust God's way. When it don't look right, trust him anyway. When it don't feel like it's going to work out, trust God anyway. Trust his love. Trust his love for you. Trust that he's never going to stop loving you. Never going to stop. He's never going to ask you to earn your love for him. That has already been done at the cross. He's not going to ask you to work your way to loving him, loving you. It's already taken care of. It's already done. It's already done. It's a done deal. His love for you is a done deal. He loves you. And he's going to keep on loving you. Always, forever. Never going to stop. Never going to quit. Now, there might be some people that decide they don't love you no more, but God is going to always love you. He's never going to stop. He's never going to stop. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that are here to hear your word today. God, we thank you that you love us. And you always will. Help us trust that love you have for us more and more. Help us become perfected in that love you have for us, so that there will be no fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. And we don't want to have no fear. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear circumstances. We don't have to fear the attacks of the enemy. We actually don't have to fear any of that, because your love casts out all fear. We know that whatever comes upon us, whatever happens, God, you're with us. Your love is there. We're never alone. We're never alone. And Father God, if we happen to forget for a moment, remind us, Holy Spirit, of the love of God for us. God, we thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to get ready to close our service for today. Are there any comments or any prayer requests or anything anybody have before we get ready to close? We thank God for you coming today. And I'm going to close in prayer, because there is some requests that I want to continue to thank God for. We prayed for them yesterday in our women's fellowship. But y'all can come in agreement with us. I go to the YMCA in Wilson to exercise, me and my sisters. We usually try to go 3 days a week. And there was a young lady at the YMCA that was one of the managers there. And she's probably the same age as my daughter. My daughter's like 49. I think she's about that same age. Anyway, she's a classmate of my daughter's. And we saw her when we were there on Thursday. We went to do exercise in the pool, and we saw her and me and my other two sisters and one of my sister's grandbaby, and we waved at her, and she said, "How you ladies doing?" We said, "Hey, we doing fine." And on Friday, that lady collapsed at work and passed away. She passed away. And they couldn't revive her. And she had one son and was getting ready to be a grandmother. So we're going to pray for her and for her family, and pray for her family and everything, because I know it's a shock. It's a shock when you lose somebody anyway. But when it's like that, I mean, they go to work in the morning and they don't come back in the evening. That's not easy to handle. And it takes the love of God for you to get through that. It takes the love of God. And we prayed with Mary for somebody she knew, Mary Pettifor, the baby. Ed, did you hear anything about how the baby was doing? We prayed yesterday. Okay, I think it was in Colorado where the parents was. Yeah. That's what Mary told us. Mm-hmm. The parents were in faith, they didn't have any fear. Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. And they trusted in God. Because God loved them and loved the baby. He's already done everything that needs to be done. So, Father God, we thank you. We pray for Rhonda Nixon, the worker at the YMCA. We pray for her family, her son, and I don't know if she might still have parents living. We pray for that whole family, God. We pray you would comfort them and take them through this. Let them know, Father God, that you're there with them. You're there with them. And God, help them to release her and release grief and not hold on to it. In Jesus' name. Strengthen them. Meet every need, Father God. Everything they need, meet it. In Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for the little infant. I think his name was William. And we've already believed for his total recovery and healing, God. And we thank you, Father God, that you're doing just that. That you're working on his behalf and the parents' behalf. And he's coming out, Father God, totally healed. And God, we thank you for continuing to strengthen those parents, God, and meet their every need. In the name of Jesus, God, we say thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And God, we thank you that we can trust you, that you answer prayer. We can trust you that when you call, we call on you, you hear us. So God, we know that when we pray according to your will, that you hear us, and we have the petition that we asked of you. So, Father God, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.